Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to give the Lord another hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Whether you know it or not, this is a new season. And we're already in the midst of it. And God has been opening doors and doing new things in our midst. And a lot of times we can't see them because of the things that's going on around us. But God wants us to take notice of. We know it's fall that when because we see the leaves on the ground. No matter the temperature, still fall because the leaves are gone. But God has opened this thing up. And this church is beginning to open up and do new things. Ministry has been opened up. It was a time when it was held back. It's that time is no longer. It is time for us to not only to minister, but to know how to minister. Because if you don't know how to minister, you're not going to get the effect that you want. Or flesh may get an effect, but it's not the effect that God wants. You have your Bible, 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, and starting with the first verse. It says, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their, liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own lives to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. This church that he's dealing with right now, he's talking about, he said, we're going to make you understand. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God. We're going to make you know about this grace that we found out over here in these churches at Macedonia. They were in a great trial of affliction. You hear that word deep poverty. They were in deep poverty. But yet, they found a way to bless this other church. They found a way to bless this other church. It says, how in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. In other words, they didn't let their situation or their circumstance dictate to them how they were going to minister. I'm going to say that again. They did not let their circumstances dictate to them how they were going to minister to people. A lot of times we have an agenda. People have an agenda, whether they minister from here or minister from out there. They got their own agenda. These people found a way to go past that agenda to bless somebody else. And what we have to do is we have to follow that example. It says, for to their power I bear record, and beyond their power they were willing. Paul saw in their ability, and then he saw something else. He saw the grace of God that allowed them to move beyond that, so that they could reproduce the nature and the character of God. Let me tell you something. When you are ministering, whatever ministry you have, the reproduction power of God has to be in your life. Because if you're ministering any other way, you're not going to minister. It's not ministering. You're wasting time. You're taking up space. You might as well sit at home and watch TV or a ball game or whatever. But the power of God, it says, to their power I bear record. Yea, beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying. And see, Paul, by him being over the church, could have said, no, you guys got the need. We're not going to take it. But because of the spirit of love and of grace that was in him, he couldn't refuse it. That's what ministry is all about. Ministry is about giving of yourself. See, that's what Jesus did. Jesus gave of himself. He stripped himself of his glory, and we have to strip ourselves. Now, I'm trying to get ahead of myself a little bit here. He said, and they did not as we hope, but first they gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the desire of God. They gave themselves. The only way that you can give yourself is you have to deny your flesh. You have to deny your flesh so that the word of God can go forth. The ministry of God can go forth. The reproductive power can go forth. A lot of people have great talent. A lot of people have anointed abilities. But you have to learn how to flow into those abilities. It doesn't matter if God touched your hand. If you can't learn how to flow with other people, your ministry is not any good. This is a body ministry. The Old Testament, the prophet was by himself, and that was because Israel as a nation would turn away from God. But now we're called into a new fellowship, a fellowship where all the parts of the body have a purpose and a ministry. And it is up to us to find out this ministry. It's up to us to find out. You could somebody can prophesy to all they want to. I didn't find it out until I began to get in this book. They told me a whole lot of stuff. But I didn't begin to find out what my calling is until I began to study the word of God. And then God himself began to teach me. God, now he used people. God will use people. Why? Because you don't know this thing when you get in it. You don't know this thing. It's just like with kindergarten, first grade, second grade. God has to lead you by steps. Just like Pastor was talking about and Rev was talking about. When you get called in the ministry, it might take some time to get you to that point. You don't become a prophet overnight. You don't become a pastor overnight. There is a training period. Jesus went through a training period. From the time that he was in the temple until he was 30 years old, there was a training period for him to learn how to minister. We have to take that same training period and allow the grace of God to flow through our lives to other people so that they can get touched. See, because there was something else about just giving to them. They felt the fellowship and the power of God when they got through with these people. You have got to be able to allow God to move through you. And it's by his word. That's the only way you're going to do it. You have to allow it. The joy so that you can have fellowship. We are supposed to have fellowship one with another by the Spirit, whether we get in close contact or not. Some people you're going to be closer to than others, but it doesn't matter. When you come into contact with ministry, that's not supposed to be a problem anymore. The Spirit of the Lord is supposed to flow between you and somebody. If it may be of another church, another country, it doesn't matter. As long as the Spirit of the Lord is there, you're supposed to be able to link up with them and begin to flow. But there's a problem with this. Go to Romans 12 and 1. Once again, see, they were moved. Paul and Titus were moved by the grace, the power. See, that power, like I say, it touched them and it persuaded them. No, we know you in deep poverty, but we're going to give you, we're going to take this anyway. You're going to get this anyway because of the Spirit of God. Romans 12 and 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's how you do it. You present your body by the mercies of God. In other words, God loved you enough to save you. Loved you enough to set you free from the bonds of sin. So now in turn, by that love and because you love him, you present yourself a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. When God takes you, you're placed on the altar. Whether you know it or not, we are the burnt offering. That's what we are. When you do that, you're placing yourself at God and he puts you on that altar. That burnt offering that they did back in the Old Testament, when God told them to build it, God told them to build it to certain specifications. He wanted a certain kind of wood, and the fire came from God. The power came and lit that. Now it was up to the priest to keep the fire going. Pastor was talking about this morning about the fire that he couldn't shut up. Why? Because Jeremiah had put so much word down in him that even though the trials began to come unto him, he couldn't put the fire out. You have to put yourself on that altar and you have to allow God to burn those ways up. What ways? Yours. The way you think, the way you feel. A lot of people minister on how they feel. God's not interested in how you feel. A lot of times I be hurting when I get up here, but God expects me to do what I have to do. So I move past my hurt. I move past whether I'm sick. I move past where the folks that talk about me. I move past where the folks don't like me to do what I have to do for God. That's how you sacrifice. You sacrifice what people think. It don't matter what people think. You have to put yourself in a place where God can flow through you. And the only way he can do that is he have to burn up those things that are in your life. He said in second verse, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, a lot of people don't know. See, we think, okay, we just present ourselves to God. No, there's a process to it. You have to be placed on that altar. You have to allow God to burn those ways up and be not conformed to this world. The only way you can have your mind transformed is to get into this word. That's the only way your mind becomes transformed. It's not transformed by watching a Tyler Perry movie. It's not transformed by listening to gospel music. That's not the gospel. We see these programs on TV talking about gospel. I'm looking at these folks shouting and dancing. That's not the gospel. This, the word, that's the gospel. That's what you have to live by. That's how you minister. That's how God gets you into that place till you become selfless. That's where God is trying to get us, so that we don't minister according to the way I feel, but I minister unto the way God does it. And be not conformed to this world. Don't be fashioned. Don't allow my thoughts and my ideas to dictate to me how and when I serve God, how I minister. Renewing of your mind that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. God is going to prove himself through you by you putting yourself on that altar and allowing him to burn that up. In the same way that they were touched, those people, that church from Macedonia touched Paul and Titus, is the same way we're supposed to be able to touch other people when you minister. You're supposed to make a change in somebody's life when they come in contact with you by the Spirit of God. If that wasn't, then you need to go back. You got to go back. Let me tell you something. And you know what? The Word of God is making a progression through the people of God. I was listening to a brother a long time ago, a mighty man of God, been on the radio since I was a teenager. And he said God had finally got him to a point where he had to unlearn some stuff. See, we think that because the Spirit of God is in me that all of a sudden I'm perfect. Not perfect. You just have a chance to do God's will now because of his sacrifice and him placing his spirit and his nature in you. But you have a choice to yield to it. A lot of people not yielding to it. They're yielding to their own flesh according to what they feel. Why? Because first of all, you have to recognize what this word says. This word in these epistles is telling you about yourself. It's telling you about your flesh. It's telling you that you have to bring your flesh up under subjection. It tells you have to bring your thoughts under subjection so that you can minister properly. Let me tell you something. When Pastor usually, when he tells me that I have to preach, I go through a process. God will give me the word, but sometimes you see things. You see things that you don't like. You see things that you don't agree with. But by the word God and me going to him and saying, Lord, I want your way instead of what I see, by the time I get through to this point where I'm up here, God then bled all of that out. He's bled all of those things out. Let me tell you something, it's a fight. It's just more than getting up here talking about hallelujah and jumping and shouting and all of this stuff. It's a walk, and it's a determined walk, and you have to be determined in it by the word of God. So once again, you place yourself a living self. You present yourself to Christ. He places you up on that altar so that he can begin to burn those things out of you. And that the nature and the character, which is his love, his joy, his peace, will begin to flow through you so that somebody else can say, well, there's something different about this person. I like this person. This person's always got a good spirit. They don't know why. They don't know what it is. But they know there's something different about you. By the same token, if you're not flowing in it, they know that too. It says the Bible says a man knows the things of a man. So they know attitude when they see it. They know hate when they see it. They know confusion when they see it. And they're not fooled. And you can hoop and holler and do all you want to. They are not fooled by you. Believe that. That's why they look at you and gone the other way. I'm just being real with you. If we're going to minister, we have to minister correctly. And see, I was taught, like I say, Mother Grundy started me, and then when I started with Pastor Gardner, Brother Relaford, you know, you are brought along, and then God himself got to a point where I could understand the word of God for myself. You've got to be able to get in that word. Books ain't going to help you. Well, they'll help you for a little bit. I'll just put it that way. You know, because everybody got books. And a lot of times what you're going to get out of that book is somebody's mindset. That's what you're going to get. You're going to get their opinions. But I'm like this. And y'all, some of y'all know what I'm talking about. I like my word straight with no chaser. That's what I like. I like my word straight with no chaser. Meaning that I'm going to get all that God has and none of what nobody else has got. Why? Because a lot of folks will lead you off into their thoughts and their ideas, and that would affect how you minister. God has a personal God unto you. He saved you. He died for you. Therefore, you have a right to go to him as your father about his word. When I got a problem, pastor had me teach, and I'm like, Lord, he wanted me to teach a set of scriptures, and I got to a point, I said, Lord, I don't understand that. What did God do? He let me bypass it. It's his word. He know how to fit it together. Until I got to a point where I was able to understand it. You got to keep an open mind. There's many things in this book that are being revealed, and they sound strange, but it's the word of God. And God is trying to use people to bring this thing out so that when Christ comes back, he has a mature church. See, the problem with ministering, if I minister to you what I want, you're not going to get the things of God. You're not going to get them. It's plain and simple. I have to minister to you according to the Spirit. Now, I want you to go to Matthew, 22nd chapter. And we're going to get a little bit deeper into this ministry. Matthew, the 22nd chapter, and we will start at the 37th verse. See, the point of this is the grace of God to the church of Macedonia allowed them to become selfless. That's what God is trying to get us to be. He's trying to get us to a point where we are selfless, that we're not worried about what we're going to get, that we just minister the word of God in its honesty and in its entirety and allow God to reward us. See, Jesus, what did he do? Jesus was a part of everything. Elohim, the creator, he was a part of all creation. The water that we drink, and he put it together so that we can drink it. The air, he put the molecules together so that we can breathe it. And then he formed us so that we could take advantage of the water. We could take advantage of the air. The gravity that is upon the ground, God is the gravity. He became all of those things to create all things. And yet he left that, stripped himself. He says he became poor. He left his riches, the riches of his power, the riches of his glory, and became poor. and put himself down on a point called earth. Why? Because his people didn't know him and didn't understand him. He didn't have to leave the glory that he had with his father. But because of love, he came down here and began to minister unto us. And how did he minister? Whatever he heard from the Father, that's what he did. There was a time when Jesus had his point of rebelling in the garden. Let the cup pass from me. But nevertheless, he placed those thoughts under subjection to the word of God, which he knew that he had to do, became selfless, and did that. We have to do it. The first thing that we have to do is we have to love right. You got to love right. It starts with love. If you don't start with love, you can forget it. Matthew 22:37, and Jesus, well, 36. Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. When you minister the way God wants you to minister, God said, first of all, you shall have no other gods before me. When you allow those thoughts to elevate themselves, you just allow the God to form in front of him. He said, make no graven image. Well, we're smarter than that. We don't make a graven image. We allow the idea to be our God, because what it does is it replaces the word in our lives. That replaces the word, the idea, the thought that I can do it my way. I feel led, so I'm going to do it. Okay? That's not the love of God. You have to, whatever you minister in, you have to find out in the word how to do it. God, his instruction booklet is right here. So thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, and all thy soul and all thy mind. Here's the second one. That's the first and greatest command. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That's another point where we get in trouble. Go over to Leviticus 19 chapter. I know we're jumping, but we're just going to make it practical. See, going back to that altar, you have to place yourself on that altar so that God can begin to burn those ideas, those thoughts, those passions, prejudices, to burn them up, because you don't know who you're going to come in contact with. You don't know who God is going to place in your path to minister to. And if you're not ready, you just missed an opportunity for God to get the glory out of your life and out of the ministry that he's placed within you. Leviticus 19. And we're going to start with the 11th verse. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. 19:11. Ye shall not steal, neither deal falsely, neither lie to one another. He's talking about the body. He's not talking about those people out there in the street. He's talking to us. Why? Because that flesh will lead you into those things if you're not careful. Ye shall not swear by my name falsely, nor profane my name. In other words, I swear to God that what I'm saying is the truth. Don't swear by God. Knowing you lying, you don't do that. You don't profane the name of God. In other words, to wound it, to make it of non-effect. Somebody hears some stuff that come out of your mouth, don't have no business. You as a born-again believer, you've just made the word of God of non-effect. But because they said, whoa, you're a Christian, that's coming out of your mouth? What does that do? That makes the flesh think, I'm all right. They're a Christian, and they're doing their stuff. I'm all right. I ain't got to go there. I know better than to do that, and I ain't saved. Thou shalt not swear by my name falsely, neither shalt thou profane my name, the name of thy God. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not defraud thy neighbor, neither rob him. God's making it plain. That's what he's talking about. When you love your neighbor, who is your neighbor? Anybody who you come in contact with is your neighbor. You have to treat them the way Jesus treated. Jesus loved everybody. The love of God was spread abroad. That's why they called him a wine bibber and all of that stuff. Because why? He was talking to the drunks and the prostitutes and those that were lost. Because they knew that they had what's them. And the love of God was what drew them to him. Because he didn't condemn them. Thou shalt not defraud thy neighbor, neither rob him. Let me read this word, what defraud means here. Thou shalt not press upon, oppress, use, violate, overflow, do violence, or get over on them deceitfully. Whenever you minister, you cannot do these things. Love is supposed to be the prime ingredient, the prime motivating factor in your ministry. Thou shalt not defraud thy neighbor, neither rob him. The wages of him that is hired shall not abide with thee all night until the morning. That means if you got any bosses in here, you got employees and your own money, you're supposed to pay them. Supposed to pay them. You don't hold the money that y'all don't deserve. See, God's dealing with flesh because flesh will convince itself of its rightness. It will convince itself. That's why it says you have to cast down imaginations. People say things and do things to you and it hurts and it makes you mad and you want to deal with them. But you've got to find a way to bring that anger down. You got to bring that mindset down and elevate the word of God in your life so that when you begin to minister whatever you do for the Lord, that and that only is what comes forth out of you. Thou shalt not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind. You know, folks do want to do cruel things. God's just getting down to the basics, the lowest part of the low. You don't do those types of things. Ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. In other words, if we got a bunch of poor people in here and a wealthy person comes in here, I don't treat the poor better than I treat the wealthy one. And then by the same token, if you got a bunch of mighty or honorable people in here and a poor person comes in, I don't mistreat the poor person. See, God is making it plain. When you go back to that third verse, it says, ye shall not think of yourself more highly than you ought. Because that's going to affect the ministry that you have. That's going to affect the flow. In other words, it's not going to allow the grace of God to reproduce the nature and character so that somebody can know that there's a God. People need to know there's a God. It's been preached on every airway, but somebody's going to have to know that there's a personal God, and the only way, it might be just through you. And if you're not ready, then they're going to miss it. Thou shalt do no, like I said, okay, 16. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer. What that means is slander. An accuser of the brother. Now, usually they always talk Satan that, but I have never heard the devil say anything about a brother or sister. I've only heard people. I've only heard people smash each other's character, talk about them, lie on them, and then raise their hands up. Androbobo koshanda kiliobo shanda, knowing that you just lied on your brother or your sister. Neither shall thou see, and the reason why he says not be a talebearer, there's an account in the Bible about David, Doeg, and King Saul. And Doeg told a lie on Ahimelech. And it caused Ahimelech and his father and his people to be killed by that tale. Ahimelech, like, I don't know what's going on. I haven't said this. I haven't done this thing. Take him outside and kill him. That's why he said, don't be no talebearer. Because you can cause somebody to literally lose their life. Amen. Thou shalt not stand against the blood of thy neighbor. See your brother down or cause him to bleed. Let's make it plain. Stand against his blood. He's laying there. Like I said, that goes back to that talebearer. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. See, all of these things is what's supposed to be placed on the altar. They're supposed to be burnt up. The burnt offering, when they put that on there, they put it on there and they leave it until it's totally consumed. That mindset and those emotions are supposed to be totally consumed. Now, we know how we are, you know, we go ups and downs and things. But the idea is by keeping the word of God in your mind and in your heart that you remember those things that you have to do that. Paul said, I die daily. I die daily. In other words, I put myself on that altar daily because I feel those passions and those things come up and I want to deal with people. You know how Paul was. Paul could get violent. But you're supposed to put those things under subjection. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Bible says, he that hateth his brother is a murderer. And no murderer is going to see the kingdom. You've already done it. You've done it in your heart. That's why God was talking about forming images in your mind. You have to be careful because if you think of that thing, you've already done it. You've already considered it because the mind just don't say kill. The mind thinks, well, let me find out. I find out if they go this way at this particular time, they go here, they go there. I'm going to catch them here. That's the way the mind thinks. It just don't think kill them. It goes into a process of how to do it. That's why you have to keep your mind right. And thou shalt not in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and suffer sin upon him. Let me tell you something. The elders and ministers in here, and sometimes folks get into something. They don't have no business. Okay? But you don't put them, like the young people say, you don't put them on blast. In other words, you take them to the side. Hey, look, that's not right. Blah, blah, this, that. You don't accuse. Rev, you did that. That's not the way to do it. Because let me tell you something. There's a time. We all know him. It was a brother a long time ago, famous TV personality. He put somebody on blast, and it came back and got him. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now, I know this isn't a shout minister, but let me tell you something. You have to be able to do this so that when you begin to minister to people, that there's nothing there but the love of God. Go to Hebrews, and I'm closing with this. Hebrews, 4th chapter. This is also a part, I know a lot of times we use it differently, but this is also a part of being put on the altar. Hebrews 4 and 12. Everybody have it? It says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even unto the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. When they put that animal on the altar during the burnt sacrifices, they cut it in pieces. They wash the innards, The word of God is supposed to wash you. When you're on that, it's supposed to wash you. The word of God wash you, because when God begins to chastise you, you have to be able to stay there and stand. It washes the feet and the legs, and talking about your walk, your works. Your works and your walk have to be washed, and it has to be clean before God. That's why you have to stay in the word. A lot of folks try to minister outside of this, and that's when they mess up. Folks coming off the street talking about prophesying to somebody. They don't just know how to spell Jesus. But they want to prophesy to you. And see, a lot of folks, they'll go listen to it. You've been saved 20 years, but you're going to go listen to it because they got a prophecy. When the word of God is supposed to be leading you, that's what you live by. You live by the word of God. You move by the word of God. The word of God has this being in you. Jesus is in you. The prophet is in you. So I don't have to run to no prophet. So-and-so's coming to town with water or whatever. That's fine if you want to go over there, but it's not necessary. The same God that created the water for them over there is over here with me. The same God, so I don't have to run over there. That's for them. That's not. Sometimes everything is not for everybody. And you have to know as a mature Christian what is for you. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing unto dividing asunder of the soul and spirit. In other words, the word is God. Just like I was telling you about that process I go through when I prepare a message, when God has me prepare a message, that's the same way it's supposed to. The word of God is supposed to cut you. It's supposed to pierce you. It's supposed to expose those things that are not like Christ. It's supposed to lay them out so that you can see them. Don't no prophet have to come up here and tell you you need to love more, you need to get your attitude right? That's still small voices telling you, but you have to listen to it. Now, the pastor or whoever's up will say it, and it will confirm what God has already told you. Because sometimes we need it because we don't want to hear it. Why? Because I'm me. I'm me. That, you know, and I don't do nothing wrong, Rev. Rev, you got a problem, man. You got the problem. See, I'm Brother Tim. Third generation in a line of greatness. Third generation preacher. I don't have no problems. Devil after you, he ain't after me. Not knowing that I got to come the same way you come. We all got to come the same way. That's why he's talking about the race. We all in this race. And it don't make no difference who's ahead of you or who's behind you. You run your race. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing unto the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents. That's why when we're out there ministering, whether it's here or outside or anywhere, that we minister with the intent of giving God glory, the intent of giving God praise, the intent of allowing God to manifest himself in our life, the intent of the love of God to flow so that somebody might get saved, somebody might get healed, somebody got get delivered. Let me tell you something. There's a whole lot of preachers preaching a whole lot of stuff, and ain't nobody getting saved. Nobody's getting healed. Nobody's getting delivered. It's just a whole bunch of Sunday country clubbing that's not doing anybody any good. But you as an individual, you as a minister, you as an ambassador of Christ, you have a responsibility to get in this word and understand it for yourself. It's not the pastor's job to what's it? It's the pastor's job to teach you and to guide you, but it's your job. That's why I said you study yourself. You study. That's a commandment from God. You study. You say you love him, study. You say you love him, study. To show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. Folks been in the church 20, 30 years, still in the same shape they were in when they first came in here. But we don't see it because we're too busy admiring ourselves. I enjoy being me, Rev. But the word of God, I'm closing. The word of God. I know this is not a shouting message, but this is a message to get you to think. You have to think about what you're doing. You have to examine yourself. The same way you examine yourself when we did the communion this morning, that we remember Christ when we're taking that cup, you have to examine yourself when you go to minister, so that the motives and the intents do not get in the way of the word of God flowing, so that somebody can get help, somebody can get saved, somebody can get healed, somebody can be set free. Let me tell you something. Everybody here got family members that's not saved. The only time they're going to get saved is because of you ministering to them. And if you're not ministering right, they're not going to get saved. Let me tell you something. I'm a witness about that. When my daddy got saved in 1968, the first promise God gave to him, he said, I will save you and your whole house. Now, it took a long time, but my dad had to stand the test. Over 20 years, my mama raised hell, alcoholic. But he had to live before her in such a way that eventually she said, this way is right. So that God saved her before he took her home. It's up to you. You got people around you with a bad attitude, you got to live the word of God. The word of God's got to flow out of you. People on your job, they don't know you're a Christian. The word of God's got to flow out of you. People that you bowl with, golf with, recreate with, they got to know the word of God is in you. The word of God, the true word, not a false word. Not a word where you know you thinking about jumping and shouting. That's not the word of God. It's about walking. It's not about jumping and shouting. It's about walking in the spirit, walking in the word so that you can encourage somebody else. Everybody stand. Come on and give God some praise. Come on and give God some praise. Hallelujah. Come on and give him some praise. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we give you the praise tonight. I want everybody to come down here, and I want everybody to take each other by the hand. I want everybody to come down. Form a circle. Everybody come on. We'll wait. Come on. Everybody just spread around. Just bring the circle on around. Come on around. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, first of all, we give you praise for your word, Lord God, because it's not mine, it's your word, Lord God, to instruct your people, Lord God, to teach your people, Lord God, first to love, Lord God, to love you, Lord God, and to love others, Lord God, that as you open the doors for us to minister, Lord God, to minister outside of this place, Lord God, whether it be in the food program, Lord, or to be invited to other places to speak, Lord God, or just to witness on the street, Lord, that the word of God would be paramount in our heart and that it would flow, Lord God, the way you would have it flow, Lord God, so that as the ministers in Macedonia touched Paul and Titus by the Spirit of the living God, Lord, that your spirit would touch those that are lost, touch those that are not saved, touch those that are downtrodden, touch those that need a touch in their bodies, Lord God, that you might be presented, that you might be proclaimed, Lord, in the earth, that they might know that there's a God and that he is concerned about them, Lord God. Touch our minds and touch our hearts, Lord God, that we may do these things, that we may think about these things, Lord God, that as we consider our ways, Lord God, that you would bless us and keep us, and we thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Come on and give God some praise. Hallelujah. You may return to your seats. If there's anyone who needs a touch in their body, you remain down here. Come on, Rev.